Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Still no R-word.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke just testified on Capitol Hill a few minutes ago. He said it's now likely GDP won't grow much, if at all, the first half of this year. And it might shrink a little. If it shrinks for half a year, that's considered a recession. But Bernanke didn't use the word. And he said nothing about interest rates. Wall Street is acting slightly bummed. In early trading, the Dow is down 40 points to 12,614. The NASDAQ has dropped 5, and the S&P 500 is down 3 points. In Asia today, big gains, 3 to 4%. European shares are up a fraction so far. The Prime Minister of Ireland announced his resignation a few hours ago. Bertie Ahern will step down next month after 11 years as Prime Minister. He's been caught up in a scandal concerning his bank account. A tribunal is looking into it, but today Ahern said he's done nothing wrong.
I've never received a corrupt payment, and I've never done anything to dishonor any office that I've ever held.
We're joined by our correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, Ahern is denying these allegations, so why is he resigning?
Well, he's clearly concluded that his position as Prime Minister has become untenable. The allegations, as they have emerged over the months of this tribunal's inquiry, have drained his political authority. It's getting increasingly difficult for him to operate as Prime Minister and face these very serious allegations.
And what exactly has he been accused of doing?
He's been accused of receiving corrupt payments from property developers and other business people who were hoping to buy influence. In Ahern's case, the tribunal has uncovered as much as $150,000 of payments into his account. Now, Ahern denies vehemently these were corrupt. He says these were gifts from personal friends.
Most people probably know Ahern for his work in brokering peace in Northern Ireland. What about his economic legacy in Ireland?
Economically, he likes to claim credit for the Celtic Tiger, the extraordinary 6% annual growth of the Irish economy in the 1990s. That claim is widely disputed. Many people say there are lots of other factors at work, not least a $15 billion of investment from the European Union had a role in that. And anyway, the Irish economy is not looking too hot at the moment. House prices are falling, and some economists are forecasting a serious recession.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
A year and a half ago, Congress passed a law that essentially wiped out internet gambling in this country. Banks were banned from processing payments to most gaming sites. Technically, though, the law hasn't gone into effect because regulators have been trying to figure out the best way to enforce it. But today, there's a hearing to talk about whether this law is more of a pain than it's worth. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
It sounds simple enough. Banks should stop any transaction involving illegal online gambling. The problem, banks say, is not all online gambling is illegal. Take horse racing, for instance. Banks say they can't always tell whether a transaction is paying off a bet on the ponies or something the government considers more sinister. Wayne Abernathy of the American Bankers Association is set to testify at today's hearing. He says age restrictions are also tough to enforce.
How is a bank to know whether that person who is conducting that bet is a minor? They might have their daddy's credit card.
And Abernathy says reporting suspicious activity is one thing, but playing vice cop is another.
When you say to a bank, we want you to stop the transaction, now you're saying to a bank, we want you to be investigator, judge, and jury and apply a sanction.
Abernathy hopes regulators will clarify the bank's responsibilities in any new rules. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
They've made a movie out of the hit TV series Sex and the City. Of course they did. It comes out next month. But a New York City travel company is offering something else, a Sex and the City tour. Clients will be chauffeured around for shopping, spa treatments, and cocktails for 4 days. The first person to book the tour was a woman from Singapore, where the show is banned. The price tag for living like Carrie Bradshaw, $24,000. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, April 2nd on Marketplace.org. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson was in Beijing today. He met with his new Chinese counterpart to talk about trade, energy, and the environment. As you know, China's economy has been growing by leaps and bounds. But some economists think this year China won't be jumping as high. Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
If you live in China, you're paying 20% more for food than you were a year ago. Your stock portfolio has lost nearly half of its value since the beginning of this year. And if you're involved in any kind of business that exports goods to the U.S., you're probably scrambling to find other buyers in Europe and Japan. But don't worry too much. That was a message today from the Asian Development Bank. Its analysts predict China's economy will still grow 10% this year, down from 11.4% in 2007. They say China's central bank will continue to raise interest rates this year, and it will let its currency, the yuan, appreciate at a faster pace against the dollar. Why the optimism? Because unlike the U.S., Chinese consumer confidence is still strong. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
In Argentina, farmers have been on strike the last 3 weeks. They're protesting higher export taxes on soybeans and sunflower seeds. To make their point, farmers blockaded roads throughout the countryside. Yesterday, Argentina's government tried to make peace. Smaller farmers were offered subsidies, but that plan was rejected. Dan Gretsch has more from our America's desk at WLRN.
Inflation in Argentina is at 20%. To bring it down, the government has used price controls, energy subsidies, even manipulated the official data. Now it's hiking export taxes on farmers. Economist Bertrand Delgado is with Idea Global.
They are discouraged to export and increase the amount of products and food in the economy.
President Cristina Fernandez took office 4 months ago. Larry Burns with the Council on Hemispheric Affairs says how Fernandez responds to this crisis will set the tone for her presidency.
If this show of economic might on the part of the soy plant growers is not effectively stood up to, there'll be other sectors in the country that will make comparable demands.
The four biggest farm associations meet today to discuss whether to continue the blockades. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Last year, Paris launched a bicycle program that's been talked about around the world. And now the city is thinking even bigger. John Lawrenson reports from Paris.
One of Paris's new cyclists releasing a free city bike or Vélib at one of the 5,000 self-service bicycle stations built last year. But Paris hasn't finished innovating when it comes to getting around town. The city's ruling socialists, they're promising to do for electric cars what they did for bikes.
C'est simple, vous arrivez, vous
Jacques Bravo, mayor of one of the 20 districts of Paris, says Autolib, as he calls the scheme, will be as simple as Vélib. Once you've paid a nominal subscription, you can pick up a car from any station around Paris. No need to reserve. You drive it, paying around another $10 an hour, and leave the car at the nearest station to your destination. A municipal self-service car scheme could be popular in Paris, where only 43% of households have a car. And people do seem quite keen. This car owner, for example, wheeling baby twins across the Place des Vosges, says Autolib would be a chance to kiss car ownership goodbye.
People need something to move, but they don't need to have their own car or their own bicycle. And it is a very nice concept.
Is it something that you might use yourself?
Yes. Above all in Paris and in big town where the problem of parking, why not?
Owning a small car in Paris costs upwards of $8,000 a year, so drivers would have a big financial incentive to switch to Autolib. Paris City Hall reckons the 2,000 vehicles it plans to put in circulation next year would allow 10,000 Parisians to sell their cars. As for the cost of the scheme, Paris believes it'll be able to get the vehicles cheaply. The producers of new generation electric cars will be, this city thinks, very keen indeed to have Paris as their showcase. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
Days and counting to April 15th. This tax season, there's a new reason to grumble while you're sorting through your receipts and income statements. Commentator Robert Rice shares his thoughts.
Now, let me get this straight. Some of the dollars I'm sending to Washington this time of year are being used to backstop Wall Street investment bankers, hedge fund and private equity managers, and anybody else associated with a borrower that's too big to fail. The reason they're too big to fail is they borrowed so much from our pension funds and money market funds, that if they went bust, our savings would disappear. Even the danger of their going bust might make us so anxious we'd demand our money, which would close down the entire financial system. Now, the reason they've been able to borrow so much from us without putting up much of their own capital is they're unregulated and don't have to put up their own money. The tax code also allows them to treat the earnings they get on the investments they make with the money you and I lend them as capital gains rather than ordinary income, so many of them are paying taxes at a lower marginal tax rate than you and I are paying. Finally, when the risky investments they've made with our money go bad, we get a housing crisis, and the value of our homes, our biggest assets, plummets, and our pension funds get socked. Yet Wall Street executives continue to pull in whopping incomes. James Cain, the former CEO of Bear Stearns, for example, left the company with a $232 million pay package. That's because when they place risky bets that pay off, they get a windfall. And when their bets go bad, they're bailed out with our tax dollars. This just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, we want a tax system that rewards risk-taking, but not any risk, and not one where it's heads they win and tails we lose.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. We have a place on our website where you can share your thoughts. It's called the Marketplace Confessional. It's online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.